Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
And you're listening to Live from the Path, coming to you from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper.
No, we can't. Move, are you singing to this? Or lip-syncing?
Lip-syncing, yes. I am. Right. I've been listening to that song for like 5 years.
Move, when's the last time you went on a karaoke?
It's been a couple months.
What did you... Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't, months?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Hey, wait, were the Philippines in any way involved in this?
No, I refused to do karaoke in the Philippines.
I bet they would have really liked that.
They would have... Oh, I did do karaoke in the Philippines.
Oh.
I did do karaoke in the Philippines.
Yes.
They had a thing called... it was Teletech Idol. Teletech was the corporate or the company that was there to support.
So instead of like American Idol, this is Teletech,
yeah, Teletech Idol. Okay. So like apparently... in the Philippines, I don't know if it was the same Manila, but down in Cebu, it was a huge thing to be able to sing.
Yeah.
Like, everybody loved people who could sing.
All right.
And some of them couldn't at all, but whatever. Mm-hmm. And so they had a company-wide singing competition, a karaoke competition. And so I had said at one point in time that I was a DJ in my younger years. And in the Philippines, a DJ is someone who plays the music but then sings the music along with it, like in a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And so they thought that I was saying that I was a great singer, so they tried to get me to go on and do Teletech Idol. And I think I sang a Michael Bublé song awfully. It was terrible.
What was the song?
Yeah. What was it? Everything. Michael Bublé's Everything. Okay. I like that song. All right. And so I sang that terribly.
Can you hum a few bars for us now?
No. No, that's why I said awfully.
Within the terribly. Last few months.
Yeah, and boy. I think I did it again.
Wait, has anybody else done karaoke in months, not years?
No.
No. No.
Mike, have you ever done karaoke?
Of course I have. I do a good Hello Dolly by Louis Armstrong.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you give us a sample of that?
Yeah. Hello Dolly. This is Louis Dolly.
Yeah, that's not bad, really.
It's so nice to have you back where you belong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's the deal. I can only get through the first verse, and then it sounds like Yoda. There's a very small distinction to be made. So then I switch over to the phony Louis Armstrong trumpet like I meant to do it. Yeah, it's killer at like 1:30 a.m.
Everybody digs it.
Yeah.
Guessman, are you a karaoke man?
You should know better.
That's true. I shouldn't even have to ask. I know you rock the karaoke.
Guessman does the Book of Deuteronomy for karaoke.
he's always the guy that lines up the dashboard lights. He always does the meatloaf hit.
Nice.
The 10-minute marathon. And also, what is it? Anything by the Fifth Dimension. The Age of Aquarius. That's Guessman.
What used to be the rockers? Dixie Chicken. People used to love Dixie Chicken when people would get up there and sing that one.
Dixie Chicken?
By Little Feat.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. People love Dixie Chicken.
Yeah.
Never heard of
that. Is that a country song?
Yeah.
That's Mike only frequents honky tonks.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, what was the other one? I don't remember. What's the 41 and a daughter still calls a baby?
What?
No, I don't know.
I don't follow Delta country.
Delta Dawn. Yeah. What is it? Oh, yeah, Delta Dawn. Yeah. Yeah.
People love Delta Dawn as well.
Never heard that either.
What? No, that's ridiculous.
No, I've never heard.
Aren't you a DJ?
That's why I'm surprised. I've never heard of either of those things.
Are you serious? One of the jobs in the Philippines is take music people have already made and sing over the top of it?
Yeah, and that's what surprised me. I told them that I was a DJ, and they go, oh, man, you must be a really good singer. I'm like, that didn't make sense in my mind. And then finally, someone came up to me and said, yeah, no, DJs sing here. I'm like, why? You have the music to play. Why are you trying to sing over it? They're like, and one person honestly came up to me and said, that's because Filipinos think they're all good at singing.
No, hey, that's true. So
I'm just like, yes, thank you for the honesty of that statement.
No, so I did end up, and I'm sure I've told this story on the air before, but like I was in I was in the Philippines for 6 weeks. My last day there, they wanted to take me out to do something fun. And so it was 6:30 in the morning in Manila, and I was in a Korean-style karaoke bar singing a Justin Bieber medley and eating a pig's face.
You're a champion.
That was, yeah. And drinking, like, there's a local beer company, and they were bringing in, like, some kind of apple-flavored beer, which didn't taste like soda, so I didn't like it. So, but anyway, so yeah, those guys were, they rocked out. They, I mean, they went hardcore solid on this, and they did a pretty good job. And then they said, look, you know Justin Bieber. And I said, no, I do not know Justin Bieber. And they said, you know Justin Bieber's medley. And so they pulled it up, and there was like a 3-song Justin Bieber medley. And like,
that's got to be at least 9 minutes of material. Oh,
it was ridiculous. And so, like, I was sitting there, and
Justin Bieber,
and I didn't want to be offensive. I said no to everything else that night. And here's the thing: I'm not good in social situations. I wasn't drinking any of the booze. I wasn't eating any of the food, really. But I agreed to do this thing, and like, I don't know any Justin Bieber songs. So, like, I mean, besides singing with the tonal quality of a walrus, I don't know the songs anyway. So it's just like, like you're trying to guess where it's going to go, follow the bouncing ball. It was awful. And one of the dudes recorded it. And it's on like the YouTube Philippines.
I tried to find it when I was there.
Yeah, it's...
I looked for it. I couldn't find it.
Maybe bless his heart, maybe he put it to the private.
I said...
Private.
I put in the YouTube, geeky white man sings Justin Bieber.
And then Justin Bieber showed up.
And then Justin Bieber showed up singing Justin Bieber. Oh, man, Justin Bieber.
No, yeah, okay. Anyway... Okay, that's it for karaoke then. I don't have any classics. Like, I don't say what Mike, wait a minute. You and I used to sing Cover of the Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We used to rock Cover of the Rolling Stone. People loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, it killed them.
A freaky old lady named a Cocaine Katie. Yeah, that was me. I was the deep voice guy. all right, so if you karaoke, I don't really care about
it. Man, I forgot about that. I forgot we used to do Cover Rolling Stone. That was great.
all right, tonight on the show, with karaoke's off the table, Poop, let's see, Boova may have some Pope style. Did you mull that over yet? Are you going to say that out loud?
I want to, but I don't at the same point in time.
You're going to say it. Nobody listens to the show except for good old Pete, and he'll tolerate just about anything.
Thanks, Pete.
I have a small amount of Pope style advice.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, only one sentence, and there will be no commentary.
So it's not really Pope style. It's more like a drive-by aphorism.
Drive-by poping.
It's the dude. It's the dude driving outside of the Vatican, yelling something into the Vatican.
Yeah,
and
don't build walls. That's all I'm saying.
Don't build walls.
Build walls.
Okay.
No commentary.
Like no physical walls.
Let that play out. In
so
your
much
life.
For Robert Frost.
Yeah.
No, but what? But I want to.
Here's the deal. I was talking to my friend Trump. And he says that we should build walls. And then my friend the Pope's like, no, I don't think so. That's not the best idea. His walled-in castle.
It's awkward.
Yeah.
I thought, well, you know, clean thy own house and whatnot. Maybe you should look about.
In his defense, he didn't build that. It was there when he moved in.
No, but he didn't ask to have it torn down either.
No, that's true.
I mean, that wouldn't have gone over very well.
I was going to say, would they say yes if the Pope comes in and says, hey, man.
What kind of sweeping authority does he have? Does he get to change the decor?
Yeah.
Can he just walk in and be like, I hate these rugs?
He's like the first lady. House? He can do what he wants.
No, not of the White House, of the Pope House.
Oh, of the Pope House? Yeah, he's basically sovereign.
Hey, man, that'd be really weird if the Pope was able to come to the White House and change stuff up.
That would be kind of cool.
Just kind of walk in like, hey, I really don't like that picture. We should take that down and put up a picture of me.
Hey, what's the, has anybody been to the Vatican? Have you been to the Vatican? Mm-hmm. What's the decoration like in there?
Old? Well, yeah, it's old. It's like full of antiques and relics and things like that.
So it's very much like I suppose that's what you would expect from an organization that only has dudes in it. And like at least in the White House, the first lady comes in and she refreshes the place, say, this is not going to work. We're going to redo this. And what you have is in the Vatican is a bunch of dudes who are like, we got some old crap. Set it up somewhere.
Yeah.
Don't give it away.
Don't change anything ever.
Hey, I think Peter touched this. We should probably put it in a case or something.
It's got his holy fingerprints.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it works.
That's true. Is it kind of feel cold, not real homey?
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Yeah, that's a dude pouch right there.
A bunch of dudes in there.
I mean, you can actually tell the Pope's man because he's like, hey, we had this suit tailored for you. You know what? I'm just going to do a robe. So,
robe and a hat. Flowy.
Are you telling me I can stay in this robe all day?
Yeah. You should comb your hair. You know what? Let's make a Pope hat. Then I don't got to do nothing.
What if Chuck's got big hair? Get a bigger hat.
The Pope doesn't have to shower. I stand 40 feet away from everyone.
That's who Pope Leo X was actually. His first name was really Chuck. Leo is what came after.
Man, it's all making sense now. The potpourri is certainly has to be only a man because he chooses the easiest clothing to get on. He wears a hat all the time, and he puts absolutely no time into decoration. And says, hey, should we throw this away? No, you know what? We might use that next year.
Hey,
put it in the closet.
I need to know what time it is. I don't really want to wear a watch or put up a clock. Can we just get a bell?
Hey, how are we going to symbolize something got done? Let's set something on fire. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Well, we'll make it a special something so it's a different type of smoke.
Yeah, right. When we're going to change out dudes, burn something. Heck, even if we're not going to change out of dudes, burn this.
Hey, you think we can put a bubble on the car that's like bulletproof?
Yeah, oh, so yeah, I don't have to see anybody really. Can the Boatmobile get a new DVD player? That'd be awesome.
This is a total dude organization. That's right on. Oh, man. All right.
This segment of Life from the Path has been brought to you by CatholicsComeHome.org.
My wife sends me a text about half an hour before the show starts and goes, this commercial says the Catholics said Jesus started the Catholic Church. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of the root of the theology.
Yeah.
If they didn't have that to go on, I feel like they're really standing on shaky ground here. I might not agree with the decisions that follow, but if we can't at least get on board that Jesus was behind it, I feel like a lot of what they're saying has got to go out the window. Sorry, I'm sympathetic to my wife's comment. I just thought, of course, that's what I would say. All right, potential Pope style. I don't know why I get a close. There's got to be a book somewhere about dudes in the Catholic Church and why like everything is the way it is. I feel like that's a book waiting to happen.
Were there urinals in there?
Yeah.
There are places to go to the bathroom.
Well, yeah, but I mean, was there like stand-up potties? Like a urinal?
I didn't use it.
Oh,
I didn't check.
I feel like I would definitely have gone and used the potty at the Vatican.
Yeah.
I would like to
know
a mistake, Dave.
The quality of their toilet paper. You know what I'm saying?
I probably wouldn't have used it either.
Okay, there are better ways to get holy water than going there. So
I'm just saying, like, if I go in there and they had, like, the cheap one-ply, I'd feel like my tithing was heading in the wrong direction. Like, they better have some decent toilet paper in there.
Now, that's true. Like, you could say, hey, well, I can't believe we're paying all this money for all this excess. But, like, technically, that's been there for 1,500 years.
Yeah.
That's been long paid off. That's why all these giant church buildings, like, they're not paying any money on that stuff. They paid that stuff a long time ago. Maybe the guy 1,500 years ago got conned out of his money, but certainly yours isn't going there.
No, that's true.
You're just upkeep.
Yeah, right. You're the maintenance. You're the one-ply. All right. There's a legit Catholic somewhere that loves Jesus that I feel like we should talk to that should set us straight.
Yeah, we should have him come in. We could really use
Can you explain to us the Vatican? All right, cool. And then so we got some advice on Dear Life from the Path. We might do a quiz tonight. And also we'll have you... interesting, somewhat... It's not really sad news. It's just... It's gonna hit the show. Is Dave Herrick's on his moving out? Mm-hmm. He's Billy Joel style heading out, and he's Billy Joel didn't move to Oklahoma, but he's moving out, like the Billy Joel song. He's heading to Oklahoma. He's got a job with Voice of the Martyrs. So I think it's a very cool. It's a cool organization. It's a very cool opportunity. That is not great news for us, but of course, if he's doing what God wants, then that's great news for everybody. Christian has got to saddle these types of sad things with the thought that God might be behind it. And that buffer's such an item. But it's otherwise, it's a real bummer. Dave Herrick's been an excellent, friend, man that follows Jesus, and certainly a guy on the show. So anyway, we'll hear a little bit. Maybe we'll let Dave share a little bit about where he's going and what he expects to do down there. And then, but anyway, this will be Dave's last show living here. I'm confident he'll make the drive from Oklahoma at least every other Monday, but we'll see if that actually shakes out. My confidence may be misplaced in that assumption, but that's what I'm going for. So anyway, we'll let him kind of fill us in on that. And I think that's what we got set up for the show. I'd be honest with you, I looked at some of the headlines out there, and they all look stupid and not worth talking about. Like, there was a lot of political stuff that didn't seem to make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, who cares about South Carolina?
What were we talking about? We actually talked about this a little bit in between one of the two services at church, and it's I suppose the only thing I'll say about some of the political stuff that's going on is like it's a right reckoning of the fence, I guess. Like, we've been throwing around labels if they don't mean anything. If you love Jesus, there's certain things you simply cannot abide by, and I feel like that's gone. Mm-hmm. We've lost some of that. So maybe we probably need to back off of, like, here's a survey that says, hey, 70% of evangelicals think. Well, frankly, if the number of evangelicals that have otherwise supported Trump in South Carolina. We disagree on the definition of people who are subscribing to the good news. And so I suppose just know that and at least react rationally to a world where that may be the case. That's it on that.
You're saying evangelical don't mean what it used to.
I don't think anybody really knows what it means anyway. But especially a self-identifying evangelical, like think of the things that you actually have to agree to say, I believe the good news of Jesus Christ and everything that comes from that.
Hold on. What is the textbook definition of an evangelical?
Well, so I think that would generally be it. Basically, non-Catholic believers in Jesus would be the underlying assumption.
Okay, I'm with you.
No,
broadly, yes, no.
It tends to be within Protestantism. There's the traditional churches, and then there's the evangelical churches. Is kind of the split in Protestantism.
I don't think they make that. I don't think that's a distinction that most people are making.
Okay.
I could be wrong on that. But again, maybe that's the source of some of the confusion. Yeah. But in either case, mm-hmm. like I think it's intended to the thought process that like these are Christians. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if the definition of a Christian is someone pursuing and trying to be like Christ. Then this simply doesn't reflect some of our voting patterns. Don't reflect that. And so, you can argue about that all you want to, but the guy that self-identifies is still going to do that, whether you argue with him or not. And so, we just need to rethink our labels and what I expect out of certain labels or groups or societies of people. I don't think this should be a surprise. But anyway, I suppose just react to the world, understanding that those labels don't necessarily imply what we think they should. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, react to that.
That's true. I think I've read a couple articles over the last week where, like, you know, and it was like, evangelicals, you need to reconsider how you're voting or what you're doing, you know. And really, the article should have been titled, "You just need to stop calling yourself an evangelical."
Yeah.
Because that's really not how you're operating. You know what I'm saying? Like, I swear, this has come up 10 times this week of, like, people trying to argue with me about what it means to be a Christian and whatever. And I'm like, hey, man. James kind of straightened this thing out, right? It's fruits. You'll see fruits. That's how you know. That's how you know you follow Jesus. They're like, I don't know whether I'm saved or I'm not saved. I don't know where this guy I work with is saved or not saved. I'm like, here's the deal. You'll know. Like, I feel like it's almost the second coming type language. You know what I'm saying? There will be obvious signs that a man lives his life in pursuit of Jesus Christ. You will know if he's doing that or not.
Yeah.
And so, like, if there's this big old question mark by you, unless, like, you've known him, like, you know, he's the guy who runs the gas station counter, and you just don't have near enough interaction with him to see. But normally, actually, I can usually sniff those guys out. You know what I'm saying? They've done rung up my orange juice, and I'm like, I feel like this guy's a Jesus man. Yeah. I don't know why, but I just get the vibe that he's a Jesus man.
Actually, that very much has a connection. We were talking through, we just started the second week of our Revelation study, and one of the prescriptions of the churches that he's writing to in Revelation 2 and 3.
I know your deeds.
Yeah, I know your deeds. I know your works. And then and in Ephesus, like when he says repent and do the works you did at first, not repent and say the thing or believe the thing. Like he just, the biblical writers just simply don't separate these two things. And we spend a lot of time separating them out. And then I think there's a falseness to that. And like if I were asking questions like that, we're asking the wrong question, generally speaking.
Well, and like I said, like I feel like, and they always want to go back to the faith and works, yep. Whatever argument, or you know, and I always feel like they're trying to take they're trying to get God on a technicality. Like the truth of the matter is like you're right that you've added nothing to your ability to be saved. Right, that was all on Jesus. But like in response to His saving you, in response to you following Christ, there are going to be obvious works that follow. And like, if they do not, you, sir, are not following Christ. The salvation aspect is still there. Like, you are still, the kingdom is still available to you. But if you are not willing to even walk through the gates of the town that you claim that you want to live in for eternity, it's going to be noticeable.
And like, that's, even that conversation, right, is that you're leaving off what I would say is the second verse. Or if you're reading this, like, again, not from like a studying from a verse context, you just left out the next two sentences. Because like in Ephesians 2, where Paul says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Agreed completely. Very next sentence, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them."
Yeah.
It's not like a paragraph separation, it's not a chapter, it's not a book. It's like the very next sentence. These two ideas are connected, and we get stopped at the first one and like fight for, do we agree on the first one? as if the next sentence is not scripture as well. And so, yeah, like that's the weird distinction. We're asking the wrong question. Can I just ignore the second sentence, and can I be saved too? Well, like, I think you get the wrong idea what it is to follow Jesus, if that's the question that we're asking. So I think we're just asking the wrong question.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, that's good. All right, Bova, what's your hesitant Pope style?
So, I've been trying to figure out how I want to say it, so bear with me. I saw something on Facebook today that really hurt me, and I was hurting for my friends. There's a few people that I know that are having trouble getting pregnant, and a couple of friends of mine, so they've been married for a couple of years now and have been trying for a couple of years. They've done all kinds of fertility treatments, and they've done, you know, everything they can figure out.
Yep.
And he posted a snarky post that was saying that the Catholic Church believes in purgatory, and that went into, you know, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're going to hell. And then that led into someone had the conversation with him about because of that, his unborn children that have died through miscarriages are all in hell.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy just had nothing but pain from that. Like, there was nothing that was encouraging through that. There was nothing that was helpful for him that helped bring him to God. And it just, it irked my nerves at the fact that, like, someone had that conversation with him. Someone intentionally had a conversation with him about, hey, by the way, the God of the universe and this dude named Jesus who loves you, there's a technicality that you ran into that means all your kids are in hell. Sorry. Really hope that works out for you. By the way, would you like to follow him? And it just, it.
Wait, that was a Jesus guy, not like a pseudo or a fake Jesus guy trying to troll someone?
No, well, I don't know. I assumed that it was someone that was trying to have a conversation with him that wasn't trolling him. He made it seem like it was someone who was intentionally having a conversation with him.
Okay.
So, giving like that, that may have very well been a pseudo Jesus person just trying to screw with him.
Yeah, okay.
It just, it killed me to hear about someone was willing to have that kind of conversation with this guy, in no way representing Jesus' real heart on these kind of situations, and not in any way trying to enrich this guy in the way that only Jesus can. Like, this dude's going through some of the toughest things, if not the toughest things he's ever gone through, which is constant miscarriages with his wife, and that just, that hurts, and I can't even imagine what that feels like.
Yeah.
And no one came to his aid to help him from a Jesus perspective through it. And he just goes, you know, this is just furthering my decision to hate the church, to hate Jesus, and to realize that that all of it's a joke and all of it's a sham, and I love science kind of deal, right? And so,
I don't know how that's a comfort in a circumstance, but I mean, I understand
right.
what you're saying.
Well, it was a snarky post. It was yeah. it was a response, a retaliation, if you will.
Yeah.
And it just it irks me that I know that's not the only time that happened just today.
Sure.
You know, it irks me that there are, and I do this too in some situations, and I'm not calling that out, but it irks me that so many times we have people who are willing to claim the name of Jesus, but refuse to live that out and refuse to actually try and help people with that.
I mean, here's the deal, is that guy might believe that. He might actually believe that.
That's true, but in what way is that comforting or enriching the person you're talking to? All you're doing is calling out something that has nothing to do with his salvation. It has nothing to do with him knowing Jesus, and it has nothing to do with helping him as a person, as yeah. a brother. All it is calling out a technicality that you believe that his kids are in hell.
Well, so I hear, and again, oh boy, I hate to be on the guy on the side that's defending this joker, but like, I mean, for him, it's not a technicality. Right, it's just the nature of it's nature of who God is. That, although that's even harsher than even your most staunchest you know, election guy, who at least would say God has the option of saving an unborn child if yeah. he wants to. So I mean, I would call that even harsher than what would be most. So you're speaking appropriately to the relevance. Right, like, so what does it have to do with anything? To
yeah,
what,
yeah, what's right. the point of talking about that?
And that I understand. It's just, like, from his perspective, he probably doesn't think it's a technicality. He probably thinks it's biblically sound. I just don't know to what relevance you start talking to a guy about that, especially outside of the context of Christ being both things, as opposed to that's the thing you decide to fire up, right? That's kind of your point.
Right. It's like I walk up to someone and be like, hey, by the way, did you know that when God was dealing with the Israelites, he told the Israelites they need to kill everyone around them because they were messed up. Have a good rest of your day. Hope you know my God now.
Yeah, so like I'm not ashamed of that part of the description of scripture, right? But like I certainly would talk about it within context.
Yeah.
Of and if in his relevance.
Yeah, it's not my lead off and my only statement of well God actually does go against homosexuality. It's not what he's looking for. See ya. Yeah. Like yeah, that's I agree with that statement. Like
sorry,
I get it.
Your grandpa died.
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly. Right. hey, super, super sorry to hear about the fact that your brother married a brother.
Yeah.
By the way, they're both going to hell. It's like, really? Like, that's the conversation you're willing to have? And I think that it kills me because I've seen that happen many times, and I've heard that happen. And I mean, I get that there are a lot of pieces of scripture that, when you know the context of the God story, they are no longer painful things to hear. You know, when you hear those things about the condemnation of people within the Old Testament and then damnation in the New Testament, it happens. It's there. God is a jealous God that wants us to be there with him, right? But that's not the whole story. Like, that's not something great to ball drop on somebody without the God concept and right. the God context.
Well, I mean, look how Jesus talks to the religious elite versus how he talks to Gentiles or people Absolutely. Who otherwise don't have the background, right? So, like, if that's your perspective, then deal with at least Jesus' example and how he deals with those variations of people. He didn't front load off imprecatory prayers on every Gentile he ran into just to prove that that's how God might be at some point. And so, yeah, like, there's just a blindness to that, most certainly.
Yeah, and it kills me that there's so many people that can't quite figure that out, and we're misrepresenting the heart of God because of it.
Well, that's the thing is, I feel like you have to be reading your Bible purposely blind.
Yeah.
To not catch the fact that the black and white rule spewing that you're attempting to do was, I mean, stomped down under Christ's foot multiple times while he said, love God, love people. Those are the two main things I want you to grab from me right now. I want you to love God and love my people. And then you read what the Pharisees were throwing down, and you thought, you know what seems to be going over well? These technicalities. This is what people seem to dig on. And Christ made very little of them, and abashed them in most situations, and said, I want mercy, not sacrifice. I don't want to see all this stuff that you're trying to throw out as rules and technicalities when I want you to love God and love people. And there's no representation of that in anything that they just said. So, like, once again, you need to stop calling yourself an evangelical, because that's not what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? That's not loving God. That's not loving people. That's not taking the salvation that you've been given and using it for good works.
Actually, so that's a good point, though. That's a good harken back to that word, right? The root word of evangelical is euangelion. It's gospel, right? And so the question is, are you sharing good news? And like, if what you're communicating... in Booba's example, like, that's not a guy getting on there and is like, I want to share the good news of Jesus. I still can't fathom the motivation of this cat and what he's sharing and why. But like, if that's our proclamation, we're sharing the gospel, we're sharing the good news that Jesus brought. Like, what's your context that this seems to me like that's good news that you're sharing? Like, I don't know that would come across that way to me.
Yeah.
And was there, you know, so if you're not actually sharing good news, Jesus seems to imply he thinks you have good news to share, and you should be doing
right.
so.
Right. There's
I don't
an
understand
upside
what you're doing.
Story. Why are you not telling that part? I hope you question your own motives. If your whole motive is, hey, I'm going to bring the burn part of the God story, and I'm never going to bring in that good news.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal: the theological implications of preborn children is there are faithful people that love Christ that disagree on that. Okay, I would go almost the dead opposite of this character, and I think so biblically faithfully. However. That's not this, right? That's not what that guy's doing, and it's not the right forum for it. It's not the right person for it. I don't understand it. I don't have any reason to talk about it that way.
I was
what a goofball. And actually, Booba, that's a good point though. As you think about, like, you saw it today in isolation with a group of your friends, and like, honestly, you know that's happened at least 100 500 times somewhere in the country where some joker's filing off about something. Yeah. And you're like, shut your mouth.
Right. And you just, it kills me. Like, I just want to walk around and be like, here's the deal. I want to have the conversation with you. Why are you not knowing Jesus? Like, the people that that I would see that have the signs up, I'm just like, hey, I see that you're trying to love on people for Jesus. Let me love on you for Jesus, and let me show you what Jesus actually looks like, because that sign kind of doesn't represent him.
I like Boova's gospel approach. Why are you not loving Jesus?
Yeah. Here's the deal. You're not loving Jesus. Let's get there. Now, I've got four books we're going to talk about that branches out into a couple more.
The workers are few. That's the deal. That's the deal. The workers are few. We don't have enough guys beating the streets to even combat this type of foolishness because the workers are few.
I say we do a beat the streets.
Blast them. So
here's the deal. One of my best friends growing up, he was dealing with a rejection from his dad, or at least the guy who he thought was his dad, turned out to not actually be his biological father, and the guy just up and leaves. And so he comes from a devout Catholic family, and you know, he comes in like the next month or so, and the Catholic teacher there is telling him that there's some kind of doctrine about apparently a child born out of wedlock, you just have no option for heaven whatsoever. You're just going straight to hell. There's nothing you can do.
Classy.
Didn't know at the time that this is going through. And you know, he's not exactly going to open up about that. Well, apparently I'm in that camp. And so, you know, the teacher had no idea, didn't know their audience. But it's one of those things that if you can't share the good news, can you at least do no harm?
Yeah, right.
I mean, just,
right.
Or be a human being or something.
But I'm astonished at the just general lack of any kind of empathy that people can pull off. It's just like, how can you claim to know the creator of love and where love is defined and comes from, and all you can pull off is, hey, God hates this type of person, and God hates this group of people.
Like your babies. Like,
right.
God hates your babies? That's right. What you came up with?
Here's the deal. I need Jesus in my life, because if I was there when that conversation happened, I'm going to jail. I'm going to hit that person and shut them up. And that's
Boova's gospel delivery number two. I'm going to hit that person.
This is me admitting one of my flaws, and this is why I need Jesus. Because when people do a weird representation of what Jesus is and who he is, it just makes me want to hit them. Which shows a misrepresentation of Jesus on my part, too. I understand that. But I definitely just want to put on like a Bible verse brass knuckles and just hit that dude in the forehead hard enough.
I will take your lampstand. This is my favorite.
I'm going to hit you hard enough that you are going to start showing people a good verse about Jesus.
Ugh. All right.
You know, it's funny. A year ago, I was actually having a debate with someone, and I was on the opposite side of this one. I thought, you know, if you don't know Jesus, then, you know, you're not a part of his kingdom type of a thing. So I would have fallen more in the camp of this other guy. This knucklehead, and a good friend of mine from college he'd been emailing back and forth with me, and he's like, "Yeah, I kind of disagree with you on this one." And through the course of our discussion, he pointed me towards Romans 7:9, which says, "Once I was alive, I was alive." This is Paul saying, "I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life, and I died." So he's basically describing an existence prior to knowing about God's law, and he's saying, hey, I was alive, and with all the full spiritual connotation involved in that. And it kind of changed my position. What was interesting was it was the very next day that we had our miscarriage, and just the timing on how God handled that was just amazing, that that he introduced that to me, and God did that just so lovingly. So yeah,
that's true. Because a lot of times you run the risk of trying to find a spiritual answer that you would want. Because like that's the answer you would want after something like that were to occur. Mm-hmm. But to have got it, to have kind of given you that prior to that, so that you are dealing with both scripture and your circumstance in a healthy way. Well, you're right. That is very much a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I would agree. Mm-hmm. All right. So wait, was there a Pope style in there, Boova?
Shut your mouth. Like, here's the deal, and I mean that with all the gravity of a spiritual and righteous anger. Shut your mouth, or I will shut it.
That's blue. Pope-style threat.
So, you know, here's the deal, is I'm not much one for Facebook, you know, spread out to everybody posts. But I feel like maybe I'm really tempted to just say, listen, when you find yourself in a conversation with a Christian, just for a heads up, here's two things that should be fairly obvious by talking to them. One, they love God. Two, they love people. If those two things are not obvious, it's a possibility that you are not talking to a Christian. You are just talking to someone that likes to talk about themselves and whatever application from the Bible they've read.
Right.
But like those two things should be fairly obvious.
Yeah.
So before that you lambast the church or God in general or the salvation of Jesus Christ, realize that the representation that's being made by a guy that does not act like he loves God or loves people, that man is not following Jesus. And so he's fairly untrustworthy on the matters of which he's speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesus was pretty simple about it. He didn't say, you'll recognize my disciples by which box they check or which label they wear or anything like that. He said, you recognize my disciples by their love. That's the determining factor. It has nothing to do with labels or how they identify themselves or anything like that. None of that has any meaning to him. For him, it's literally the work of love that people are doing. That's how you recognize disciples.
Yeah.
Christian love should frustrate you. Like, you want to be upset. You want to disagree with whatever they got going on. You want to be able to point your finger and accuse them of other things. But you like, even if you want to do that and are doing it, you still feel a certain way about these people that love you so much. You're like, what? Dang it. It's really frustrating.
I just cannot shake this man.
Yeah. 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 Christian
love
should
surround me with love.
Christian love should put harsh people in a very big quandary with what to do with themselves. That's your job, making people uncomfortable in their accusations at you.
You should hate me. I should be able to hate you, but I keep loving you.
Yeah. Yeah. Tricky. Okay. All right. Well, Boov, I don't know if we can reasonably take your harsh, brutal advice from a Pope-style perspective.
I mean, the Philippians 4:13 brass knuckles ought to sell. But, I mean,
here's the deal. Those are being printed as we speak.
Get off my lawn, or I'll get backwards. You off my lawn.
It's going to be backwards on the knuckles so I can just hit them right in the forehead. And then people walking past go, all right, cool.
Here's the deal, Boova. That guy misunderstands Christ, though. Why don't you have to treat him with the same amount of love?
I know. I just want to headbutt him for
Jesus. No, I'm sorry. You can't.
But what if I really wanted to?
You just see if he's got any tables in his place, and you can flip those over.
Yeah. Yes.
So
that's the way I do it. I get an invite to his house for dinner, and I walk in. Ah, you get vipers, and I flip his tables.
You gotta say it right. It's brood.
Brood of vipers. Excuse me.
And then, but here's
den
the deal.
Of thieves. Is that right?
Yeah. If he's the Pharisee type that I think he is, he'll get it. He'll get the reference.
He'll go, oh man, he just did the temple clearing.
Yeah, and if he doesn't, just start killing off his vegetation in his yard. Be like, look, the Lord didn't give me the ability to
vegetation
curse things.
Vegetation in his yard?
And so, like, you just poison him, fig tree style, and say that I've made the Lord's past judgment on this apple tree.
You will not produce fruit.
Yeah, I had to use paint because I don't have a ability to curse stuff, but I suffocated
it
with the roots.
I put together a papier-mâché fig tree, and I cursed it and took its paper leaves off.
Man, wouldn't that be the greatest lawn ornament going forward? If we made cursed fig tree lawn ornaments?
I bet people would buy it. I mean, the internet's stupid.
Here's the deal. I would totally buy it. If I saw someplace legitimately selling a cursed fig tree lawn ornament, I would totally buy that and put it in my front.
That's right. Bring Jesus' condemnation of the temple sacrifices into the 21st century by buying this $25 fig tree.
We joke about that, but would it honestly surprise any of you if someone bought that?
Oh, that'd sell.
No. Yeah, that's from the same group that's trying to. We're those guys that were raising money to put those special cows together or whatever to sacrifice at the new
red
temple.
Yeah. The red heifers. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
In anticipation that the temple will be rebuilt. They've already got the line of stock going.
I love it. I love it. That, like,
Jesus does not really give a, hey, man, we need to rebuild that thing in any of his situations.
But here's the thing is, like, your thought process is, God is sovereign and in control, and he will rebuild the temple, but we best help him out and start funding up these red heifers, because he ain't... Because
that's the big part of the
problem. Yeah, that's going to be... He's going to have it all built and be like, what in the heck are we going to do?
That's the whole situation where God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The red heifers are on 1,001, and he doesn't own that cattle. So that's
the situation. You feel very awkward as the ranch hand? That, like, when the Lord does return and you're standing by these 1,000 cows, he's like, you know what? I feel like maybe we didn't get this right. Maybe this wasn't necessary.
Despite your concerns, the Holy Spirit is active and he wants the blue heifer. He's not bound by your scripture.
And then one of the cows looks at you and says, I'm the man of lawlessness. And then you poop your pants.
Then your entire world is shattered.
And you go hide inside your hut.
It's like, how was your day? Well, some stuff
You're never going to believe what happened to me. Yeah.
Unfortunately, all your Greek translations are wrong. Parousia really just means the arrival of the cow. We're here to dominate. How many stomachs do you have? I thought so. Four. The complete number of stomachs. Take that.
It's earthly completion.
And then the cow says, Paul didn't write Thessalonians. I did.
And you're taking
you always want to know who wrote Hebrews?
Bovinely inspired.
That's right. The red heifer didn't translate right in Greek. No, you get it right.
And I hate to tell you this, but that paper fig tree is out of context. You can't.
Wouldn't it be sweet if the guy that actually wrote Hebrews, his name was unknown?
It's just a cultural thing we don't get.
Yeah, but like the Greek for unknown is like Bob or something.
What's up, unknown? How you doing, man? I'll just write in this thing called Hebrews.
It's unknown. This seems
it's
reasonable.
It's unknown.
That's an epexegetical known.
I, unknown, servant of God, to the churches.
Blessed are those who read this letter.
To the man manufacturing the liquids, here's what I have to speak to you about. Okay. All right. That's good. That's excellent. Mike, what do you have? Is it don't build walls? Is that the deal?
No, that was it.
That was
yeah. I said there was not going to be any commentary, and I meant it.
Yeah, but there's nothing to follow there.
Yeah.
I think he meant that intentionally.
I don't think that's going to impact my life. I'm sorry.
Hey, what if I own a prison, Mike?
Hey, you're an awful pope.
Huh?
What if I own a prison?
You privately own a prison?
Free range.
Yeah, I own a private prison.
Free range prisoners.
Okay.
I still can't build a wall?
I think it's more of a metaphorical stance.
Do you have a fence around your place by any chance?
Uh-uh.
No.
Okay.
No. I guess I'm somewhere actually, to get
you
right
say you fence around your goats.
No, here's the deal. Any argument you're going to place towards Mike that would otherwise symbolize a fence, he's going to say no to. Mike, do you have a fence? No, I do not. Do you lock your doors? No, I do not. Do you leave your keys in your vehicle? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Yeah, Mike is at least consistent.
Yeah. Hey, I allow all types of pervasive crime to enter my place.
Hey, man, you have those chickens cooped up. They've got walls.
Does your house keep the weather out?
Well, for the most part, I guess. Yeah.
How many walls does your house
but
have?
That's not a wall to keep people out. It's more to keep me in and the children. That's for protection from the outside world.
Well, you're right.
The purpose of wall protection from
you're a raving hypocrite.
Huh?
That what Herrick's getting at. Your hypocrisy knows no bounds.
Here's the deal. Without the walls, I would not have a recognizable home.
Right. Well, you could have a roof.
You would also reveal your shame to
being
the world.
Being held up by what? Wishes and rainbows?
Or posts?
by beams? I don't know.
Yeah, you got posts, man.
It's cheaper to build walls.
You live in a pergola.
But you're advising me to not build walls.
Here's the deal.
You own walls.
There's other advice to give out. It was more of a joke with the Trump and the Pope thing.
Oh.
It wasn't really.
Mike lives in a gazebo.
All right. I failed at that. All right.
Gazebo.
I took a big swing and I missed. I found a red plastic bat in trash day and I thought, yes, I'm going
to
use this.
Yeah. At this point in time, you didn't have to tell people to get off your lawn. They just started leaving. They
just like, wandered away. Well,
they were just like, man, this Pope sucks.
Hey, that cow's giving advice. Yeah.
You think he really wrote Hebrews? It was
unknown. That's ridiculous.
Here we go. Hey, man, I got a joke to tell you. Want to get a second?
Okay.
Oh, boy. I don't know about this. Here we go. Dear Life from the Path. I have been in a relationship with my girlfriend, quotes Allison, for 2 years, but lately there have been frequent rough patches. I'm 18 and a college student. I love Allison, but the relationship is taking a toll on us physically and emotionally. We have had to deal with separation ever since we got together. She's the only one with a car and a, quote, real job. I work on campus in a work-study program in exchange for reduced tuition. I try to help Allison as much as I can to reduce the stress on her. So she has asked me to transfer schools, but I'd like to stay where I am, because I feel I have the ability to make something of myself.
Mm-hmm.
I've suggested that maybe we need to go our separate ways, so she doesn't have to pull the majority of the weight. But she gets upset and accuses me of not loving her. What should I do?
That is a little bit implied by let's go separate ways. Yeah. I mean, I can understand her reaction. She's not overreacting necessarily.
No, the kind of guy that's like, hey, man, we shouldn't do life together anymore. I feel like you should be slightly suspicious of his long-term plans with you.
I mean, there is some circumstance where I suppose this sounds altruistic. I'm just saying, like, a natural person's reaction is when they say, I want to move away from you. It's me to be like, hey, I feel like you don't care about me anymore.
It's like, yeah, that's what I was implying by the we should no longer talk or see each other.
Yeah, I think sometimes people forget. I mean, you could find the truth in there if you would just look for it, right? Like, if my wife said, look, we need to spend some time apart, I would say, I will sell whatever is necessary, and I will quit my job, and we will live in a car. If you feel like this will fix the situation so you don't feel this way anymore, tell me what I need to do, and I will do this directly. And this guy's like, you know, maybe we should just part ways. Maybe we should just give this thing up. Why don't you take that for what it is? The man is splitting up with you, and your attempt to hold and grasp onto him is going to cause you nothing but heartache in the long run.
Yeah, right. Like, it seems like there's any myriad of options that aren't either my situation doesn't change at all, or we split up and are no longer together.
Yeah, I'm part of a work-study program. Why don't you get a job and be part of a work-study program? You know, there is enough time in the day for you to do two things.
Yeah, like the guy said, I have a bright future here.
Yeah. Sometimes I get caught up brushing my teeth and I'm late for my work-study program, and so maybe they wouldn't have me in a real job. All right, listen, dude. You know what I'm saying? Get done with your work-study program. Get yourself a job as a waiter or something. I mean, if you don't want the lady to be burdened with all your financial liabilities, then I suggest that you go ahead and get, you know, support her then.
Yeah.
Ben, why is it making that noise?
I keep touching weird stuff. Okay, I'm with you.
Anybody else want to weigh in? Anybody want to be in support of this man?
No.
No.
Guess what? He seems like your kind of dude. Sweatpants wearing and whatnot. What are your thoughts?
I don't think I caught all of it.
Right on. Guess what? Guess what's honest approach is? You know what? Be honest with you, I'm just phoning it in here. They said they needed someone to keep this chair from moving, and I'm on it. Here we go. Secular says. Thanks, Gessman.
Yep. Truth.
Hashtag Gessman Truth. Secular says, first let me suggest what not to do. Do not allow Allison to pressure you into changing schools. Yeah, that would be wrong. It is important that you complete your education, and there is no guarantee that the financial arrangement you have with the school can be replicated somewhere else.
Can't you just check on that as opposed to hypothesizing? Yeah.
I really sure do hope this this financial situation helps with this new school. There's no way that I could contact them beforehand.
That's like saying I shouldn't move to Ohio because I can't guarantee that there's adequate gas stations. Yeah. I feel like that's you can check on that.
I'm not certain Ohio. I don't want to be calling my pants down.
I'm not certain that there's a house or apartment in Ohio. I don't think I'm going to go there.
You know what? Do her a favor and just break up with her, will you? Yeah. You're a class A moron. finish the advice. You and Allison are young, and long-distance relationships are often hard to maintain. Definitely a good reason to split up. Things that are hard are not worth doing. That she is carrying the lion's share of the load right now is unfortunate, but it won't last forever. If she's unwilling to accept that, then I agree that perhaps it's time for the two of you to take a break.
Really waiting for that work study to rake in the cash.
Yeah. If you're not if our inequitable relationship, where I'm constantly threatening to leave and taking advantage of you, is not up to par, well then we might as well just split up now.
Yeah. Listen, if your relationships aren't easy, they ain't worth it, bro. Bail. Holy cats!
You may have found love, but make sure you get your focus on your education. I mean, I get it.
I have
but
a bright
come on.
Future here.
All right.
Here we go. Oh, no. It looks like I won an iPhone 6.
Hey, Booba, what's that joke you're talking about? You said I got a funny joke?
Yeah.
What is it?
How does Moses make his coffee?
He brews it.
He brews it.
Here's the deal. That does not make any sense. Moses is an old-timey character. He bruises.
Hey, man, my daughter told that joke, and she's like 5.
Yeah.
I got another one.
Hey, you need
What did the farmer say when he lost his tractor? Hey, where's my tractor?
Holy cat.
No,
someone tagged me in these the other day, and it was the greatest thing I've seen in a long time. It was literal jokes.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, what did the female farmer say when she lost her tractor?
What?
John Deere, have you seen my tractor? That's her husband's name. John.
I feel sick.
Hey, man, it's better than Boomer's joke. At least had a clever pun.
All right. There's two muffins in an oven, right? One muffin looks over at the other muffin and says, whew, it's getting kind of hot in here, man. Second muffin says, holy crap, it's a talking muffin!
Yeah, but he talks. Okay, go ahead, Mike.
Go ahead, Mike.
Sorry, I'm spammed to death here.
Oh, I got more.
I can't seem to get out of it.
Okay, yeah, move it. What's another one? See if I enjoy it.
Oh. Well, I saw, it wasn't a joke, but I saw something today that had a picture of the chicken on it, and it said, I dream of a day where we live in a society when a chicken can cross the road without having its motives questioned. And I laughed very hard at that for about 38 seconds. I was very excited about it.
Dave Herrick got a mild chuckle out of that one.
Yeah.
He don't think your farmer jokes are funny, but
hey man, my farmer jokes are kind of funny.
An uninquisitive chicken.
Hey, we're back from the dredges here.
All right,
okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, dear Life from the Path.
When purchasing concert tickets online for others, when
I'm sorry.
It's a very predicament to find yourself in.
Specific circumstance. Listen to me. When raking my yard with the wind in the southeast.
When should you expect reimbursement? I say the charge hits your credit card immediately, and so should the payment you've advanced for that person. My husband thinks that it should be when the tickets are mailed to you, which can take 2 to 4 weeks. And you either bring the tickets to your friends or they pick them up. What do you think? Cautious friend.
Be more loving with your money.
What?
Yeah. Be more loving with your money. You are a stickler in this situation.
If you expect immediate payment, why don't they just buy the tickets for you? You haven't done anything for them, right?
Exactly.
Like, people are saying, look, get the tickets for me so I don't have to go to the hassle of us both waiting online instantly. But then you're like, hey, instantly give me the payment right now. Yeah. I mean, I could have just done that myself and got the tickets.
Yeah, I'm buying these tickets. You better PayPal them to me the money to me immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go online. What is this for, your grandpa? Like, is this someone who doesn't use the online?
Someone who might.
Why are you assuming it's a grandpa?
Grandpa's, or if you want tickets together.
To make sure you get the same seats?
Team or something?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, if you're willing to sit by these people all the way through a Bon Jovi concert, I feel like...
But you're not willing to float them for...
Yeah, you're good for the whatever so. $75 it costs to get in the door. They'll get it back to you, right?
And then you're saying, am I supposed to deliver it to them, or should they be obligated to come pick it up from me? Like, way to be completely a stickler with your time and your money.
Yeah, okay, send them...
Love these people.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Is the only reason to be upset about that is if you're afraid that this person is not actually going to send you the tickets. Which, if you're that concerned about it, don't use them as your medium to buy the tickets. So, other than that, if you can trust them to buy the tickets, you should be able to... and you know they're going to give them to you. There's no reason to have to wait to pay them. So here's the thing. If you have the money... Why wouldn't you just give it to them?
I like their plan of just holding the tickets hostage until they get paid.
This seems friendly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good for building relationships. Yeah.
Oh, it's really going to suck when we're at that Bon Jovi concert, and you're not there next to it. It's a cover band.
John Bova the Third.
Hey, that does sound like, hey, it's me. I'm John Bovi.
Have you ever done John Bon Jovi karaoke, Bova?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Please answer it right now.
Yes.
Living on a prayer?
Yes. Absolutely.
How cliche.
Oh, no, trust me. When I do karaoke, I used to do karaoke DJing every once in a while, and I would intentionally do all of the obnoxious songs that nobody wants to hear to make people leave the bar.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, I would do the songs that nobody, like Ring of Fire, Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
I would do that horribly so people would leave, and it worked every time.
Hey, man, I feel like if I'm the barn owner, I'm not very happy with your output.
Yeah. Hey, no, they weren't. That's why I don't do that anymore.
You know what I'm going to do? Send them out.
That's why I'm right here on this radio show.
Boy, have the mighty fallen.
Secular's advice is, your mistake was not in discussing payment arrangements before you bought the tickets. Unless immediate repayment was agreed upon at the time they were ordered, I agree with your husband that reimbursement when the tickets are delivered is appropriate. Man, why don't you just get some friends that you don't have to mistrust so much? You know?
Yeah.
For like, hey, let's go to the John Bon Jovi concert. Hey, I'll grab the tickets. You wanna hit me up? I'll just get them for everybody. We'll talk about the details later.
Hey, yeah, sweet, Mike. Cool.
Done.
No, sign this.
No.
Tell me when you're going to deliver it directly. Yeah, like a real friend. Here's the deal. It's like, if it's a real friend, they're going to protect your friendship, and you're going to get your money. Yeah.
And as far as a matter of delivery, you bought tickets together, so... There's already a predetermined time and place where you're going to meet.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. You know what? What does he need the tickets beforehand? You need them at the show when the other dude gets there.
Yeah, why don't I just hold on to them until we come pick you up or something?
Yeah, unless you're afraid he's going to get the dengue fever or something and not come to the concert.
And here's the deal. If they repay you, the only problem is if they repay you the night of the concert in cash, you know you're just getting up with a bunch of stupid John Bon Jovi t-shirts.
Yeah.
You can't be walking around with $150 cash in your pocket at the Bon Jovi concert. You'll make all kinds of bad decisions.
Yeah, a bonus disc with a coaster that John Bon Jovi used.
And you got the $6 soft pretzel with the cheese.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, that $6 don't seem like that big of a deal when you got $150 on you. That's when bad decisions are made, friends.
Right?
Yeah, relative
money. Anybody else want a pretzel?
Yeah.
I got $150 bones.
Yeah, right.
All 16 of us are here.
Yeah.
Who wants popcorn?
Double cheese? No problem.
I'm thinking that this John Bon Jovi concert is more like a movie screening because they have soft pretzels, drinks, and popcorn. But I can imagine that is what a John Bon Jovi concert
Here's
is like.
Here's the deal. I don't want to infer something, but what I'm going to say is the truth right here. I feel like the age group that is now going to the John Bon Jovi concert, they're not hanging in. They, like, they can listen to some of the show, but they're like, yeah, let's go get some pretzels.
Yeah.
We're more concerned about
There's an intermission at a John Bon Jovi concert.
Yeah.
He takes 15 in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, use a potty break. Me and the boys will be back in a minute.
We got to go ice our knees real quick. We'll be right back.
Why don't you guys get a soft pretzel?
I hear they're only $6. You know you got that $150.
Don't block the way. Sambora's got to go. All right. All right. You want to do one more on a quiz, Mike?
Yeah, we'll do one more. Here we go.
Okay.
Dear Life from the Path, I'm a 26-year-old man currently living in Boston and in my final year of grad school. My parents help me out with finances because I have very little income. One of the things they have done is keep me on the family phone plan. However, there's a catch. They recently announced that my, quotes, cost for staying on their phone plan is installing an app that allows them to track my location at all times.
What?
What?
In Boston, that's not a huge deal, but when I'm visiting them in Georgia on breaks, it's a point of contention, since I must let them know I'm taking a car. This will alert them to the fact I'll be out and remove any trace of privacy I may have had while I'm there. When I told them I'll pay my portion of the bill, their response was, would you prefer more texts and phone calls? How can I deal with this situation?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I think your parents are being unreasonable. However, if you don't want to get on your own cell phone plan, those are the terms, man. Like, here's you can have your opinion about it, but you just have to deal with your reality. And reality is they want to put the tracker on your phone. If you're under their phone bill, you either accept the tracker and keep the phone, or you get off the plan and move on to something else. I feel like those are your options.
Why is he only worried about this when he's at home, though? Because they're familiar with the streets and they know whether he's going down Crack Alley?
Yeah.
I don't understand why he's so... I mean, in Boston, I don't care if you can see where I go, but when I'm at home...
We know you're at Marjorie's house.
Yeah, I don't want you to know I'm going to visit Beth or whatever.
Yeah, right. He's on 3rd Street at Larry's Ladies in Leinenkugel. Like, what is the deal?
You went to the Smoky Row. We know it.
Here's the deal. Is like, and maybe this is a broader question, but like, how much privacy does a man really need? You know what I'm saying?
Not much.
If he's living with integrity, he doesn't need really much of it.
Right?
Well, yeah. No, he does need some, but it's more just privacy between him and his wife. Or when it's family time or something like that.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, I don't know that I would have any problem with people thinking, Mike's at home. Well, great. I don't care.
Yeah, I can't imagine. If my parents asked me today, like, hey, Troy, we want to install a tracker on your phone, I'd be like, all right, fine.
Yeah.
Sweet. You can see exactly.
Out of left field, but I guess.
Yeah. Hey, all right, Mom and Dad. Cool beans. Here it goes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm not sure what he's protecting or trying to protect or hide from, either way. But like, I think Ben's right. You're basically down to, look, if your old man's like, hey, you're putting this thing or you're off the phone plan, he's basically just giving you a choice. You're making it sound like he's put the screws to you. He's just giving you an option, and you're complaining about your options.
Yeah, like if someone says, look, I'll give you $50 or this sack of dog crap, there's no reason to complain about the dog crap option.
Right.
If you don't like it, don't take it.
Yeah. Yeah. Either one could be traded to a ticket to John Bon Jovi.
Right, that's $52.95. And you won't have any more money for the hard pretzels. Or
it's a situation that could actually be managed. I mean, it might not be that the whatever this app is actually requires that it's on, but if it is, then maybe it's just something that they're concerned that the phone gets lost, and then now someone else has this phone, and they're on, you know, parents' plan. So that is their business. I could see how for you it could be a source of annoyance if you're visiting Mom and Dad, and every time you go anywhere in town, Mom's always bringing up, so what are you doing going over down to little Johnny's house?
It's yeah.
Like, I'm visiting my old friend John from childhood. You know, just talk with Mom and say, hey, do you really need to bring that up all the time? Or, you know, it's kind of annoying.
Right.
I feel like I'd get sassy.
You can manage it. It's just, what's that?
I feel like I'd get sassy.
Yeah,
like
I wouldn't handle it right.
Like, so if my mom was just like, what were you doing over at John's house? I'd be like, being an adult, Mom.
Yeah, she's adulting like, okay, with John.
Hey, what were you doing on 3rd Street? I know that there's a disreputable place down there. It's like, yeah, I was an adult there too, Mom.
I would totally hide my phone underneath the front rock at the strip club or something, and then go to my youth group and then hit the store and come back a couple hours later and pick it up. Just wait to see when Mom brought it up.
Like, so, I noticed that you were outside that girly place, It's like, Mom, I have 18 alibis that I was at church.
And if you'll notice, I didn't go in. Yeah, I was just standing
I stood at the front door. I stared at the sign. I stared at the sign and I thought to myself, saying, like, that's not a good place to be.
In through the windows.
If her parents, are doing it for nefarious reasons, like, I mean, you don't have to be too suave of a detective to get around this thing. You know what I'm saying? Just put your phone somewhere else and then go places nefarious. There's many ways to get around this. But like, if it's really for the phone stolen thing, you know, maybe they just want to turn on the Find My Phone app on his iPhone or something, you know, and he's railing against it because he's up to stuff he shouldn't be up to.
Yeah, or he's, I mean, you're taking it the wrong way. You say, well, maybe they don't trust me. Well, maybe they don't. Maybe we need to rebuild trust in some way.
Your parents may have a reason to not trust you.
Yeah, yeah, maybe that's legit. So, yeah, yeah, either get off it or get it comfortable with it.
All right, Secular says, your parents are treating you like a child, although you are an adult and should be entitled to some privacy. Look into ways of getting a reasonably priced phone plan, for example, a prepaid phone. And when you visit them, refrain from using their car if it's an issue. Perhaps your friends can pick you up and drop you off instead.
Hey, wait a minute. Did I catch the gist of a recommendation where you stay on the phone plan, but whenever you go to visit them, you go buy a burner from the local Walmart?
That's more disreputable.
And just leave your phone at their place? Because that's great.
This is my Georgia phone.
Hey, here's what I love. Just because someone has a question for secular automatically assumes you can't answer any questions. Like, hey, you shouldn't borrow their car if it's a problem. Perhaps you could have a friend pick you up. Well, thank you. I would have never thought of that.
Have you ever heard of a rental car agency?
Hey, Bob says, hey, man, you going to the ball game tonight? I'm going to drive over there. Yeah, I can't make it. I don't have a car. Yeah, okay, well, then we'll talk to you later. You know what I'm saying? I mean, most normal people could be like, I don't have a car. Bob's got a car. Maybe Bob can give me a ride.
Well, that's embarrassing. That's tricky. All right, here we go. This week's quiz is on category of death and destruction, particularly focusing on disease.
Oh.
Disease. How well do we know biblical disease?
Dengue fever.
Here we go. Number one. Who healed the man with the withered hand? Peter, Paul, Jesus, Stephen. Peter. Wait, I'm not supposed to answer yet.
Man with the withered
hand. Man with the withered hand. Peter, Paul, Jesus, Stephen.
I was going to say Paul.
Didn't Moses have a withered hand? Like, put it in the coat, take it out of the coat,
wither? Leprosy.
Put it in the coat, get it back out.
That was leprosy, now not it's withered.
Better. Isn't that withered?
Mike, stop being wrong.
No. My initial thought was Paul, but I think withered. I'm wrong.
Who healed the man with the withered hand?
Peter.
I think it's Peter. It's the guy, isn't it the guy outside of the gate?
Yeah.
That's Peter. That was the guy who couldn't walk.
He was, that was right, because
Jesus healed the dude with a withered hand.
Because it runs into a couple, it's right when he says he sees the guys walking upside down. Like, it's right around in that group of miracles. Okay, no, I agree with that. I think it's I agree. Jesus.
Right, I apparently don't have any idea.
You can throw it out.
I was going to say Moses. He wasn't enough.
Not even in the list, Mike.
I'm going to throw down some guessman honesty.
All right.
I have no idea.
Two. Asclepius.
Yeah.
Asclepius Soter. Two. Jesus healed 10 men who suffered from this disease, but only one returned to thank him.
Moses.
Come on.
It's been said already. Thank you.
Yeah, there we go. It's the Bobby Dipper. It's the thankful leper. Leprosy. Three. Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees if it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath before healing a man of what?
Dropsy.
Dropsy, palsy, blindness, leprosy. Blindness. Boo was in for blindness. Mike's in for dropsy.
It wasn't blindness.
See?
I say dropsy.
I think it might have been dropsy.
Guessman, what are your thoughts?
I was leaning toward blindness.
I go back to blindness.
Tricky.
Here's the deal. Herrick has said it's definitely not X before, and it's been that.
It's true.
Blindness.
But I still feel it's dropsy.
I think it might be dropsy.
Boova.
Can I go with leprosy? because he wouldn't have even gone into the synagogue if that was
the
case.
He had feet.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Leprosy, he wouldn't have been in the synagogue.
Yeah.
So dropsy, maybe. I think it's dropsy.
Although, dropsy is kind of one of those stay out of the synagogue.
Oh, shoot.
Too.
Hold on a second. Maybe it's blindness. I'm trying to think of the, there were implications of a blind man able to see in which the Pharisees weren't. I can understand the application. They're blind to Jesus.
He had the foot stink.
There was a finite number of times he healed blind guys. There's a right as he was about to enter Jerusalem the last time, and then there was the Festival of Lights where he healed in John.
Palsy?
So maybe palsy.
I think palsy.
Let's go with palsy.
I've thought all of them so far.
Dropsy, I was thinking, was out in the open.
Dropsy, yeah, there is a Dropsy, but I don't remember what it is.
Dropsy is only mentioned in Luke. That's what I know.
That was a cool one, though.
He qualifies it as Dropsy.
Okay, this one on the synagogue, that was in Mark.
Also happens in Matthew, because it's right after he was in the grain field, and they kind of troll him, and then he shows up here and heals him in a synagogue.
Right.
I think it's palsy.
Palsy. There we go.
All right, number four. What plague did God visit on the Egyptians when Moses scattered ashes toward heaven?
Gnats.
Asthma, hives, boils, leprosy.
Leprosy.
Asthma?
Wait, ashes?
Yeah, I think it's boils.
Yeah, that was the boils.
I think it's boils. Booba?
I'm going to go with boils.
Hey, do me a favor. Will you ask Booba first from now on?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Man, I knew you guys were going to make that happen.
Is that right? Is that more entertaining when we do that?
But okay. Will you guys at least read off the things, or do I have to call it out just without
I've been reading them off.
Well, I feel like...
You guessed it before I read them off.
No, I feel like you paused on number two.
I didn't do the pause.
I want to hear you talk it out, kind of, you know, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire style.
Yeah. Here we go, number five. Everything rides on Booba. Four men suffering from what disease went to surrender to the Syrian army but found their camp abandoned? Arthritis, cancer, leprosy, palsy. Four men suffering from what disease went to surrender to the Syrian army but found their camp abandoned? Arthritis, cancer, leprosy, palsy.
Hey, man, Herrick threw me a sign, but I was already planning on saying this, and that is an honest statement. Leprosy.
Yeah, I think it's leprosy. That's why, yeah. Anybody, any disagreements
here? What was
the
first option? Arthritis?
Yeah.
Man, my joints
Come
hurt.
Come on, man.
Man, my joints hurt,
They're
Syrian
not even
army.
Trying.
Number six.
I'm just waiting for diabetes to show up at one point.
I would laugh so hard.
You better. King Asa of Judah died due to a severe disease of what part of his body? Lungs, feet, heart, kidneys.
Feet.
Feet.
I got two strong feet.
Feet disease.
Feet disease. All right, here we go. Number seven. Elisha healed Naaman, commander of the Syrian army, of what disease?
Leprosy.
Boy, lots of leprosy going on around here. Number eight.
That seems to be most of the Old Testament.
King Jehoram of Judah died when God struck him with a disease that...
Wait. Was it his bowels? Stomach issue?
Colon.
Here are the options.
He had the colon problem?
Paralyzed his lungs, made him bleed to death, made his heart weak, made his intestines come out.
Intestines come out.
Everybody in on intestines coming out?
Sounds like fun.
To home.
There we go. Number nine. Sick, blind, and lame people waited at the pool of Bethesda to be healed when what happened?
The pool stirred.
By an angel.
By an angel. An angel stirred up the water. A priest walked by. The sun was straight overhead. The fountain turned on.
Now, oh,
what's the nature of this priest
The indoor plumbing
by?
Happened.
Like
what? Hold on. Can you explain something to me? Because if like people are still waiting there, does that mean it happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's only first one in the pool that gets healed.
But an angel actually legit came down and stirred this thing up every day.
Sure, why not? I don't know that it was every day.
Or if they...
Whenever an angel decided to do that.
I don't think it also has to be like they saw... They don't necessarily have to see the angel. Just the waters are disturbed. Waters are troubled. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it doesn't mean it had this big...
That'd be fun to be a kid back then and just kind of throw rocks towards that pool.
Yeah.
From up above.
See a bunch of lepers freak out. They're like, it's time!
Oh, let's go!
Jump in! Yeah. What kind of cruel kid? Stirs up the magic waters and goes, sick man!
You said cruel kid. That seems kind of redundant. That's a situation that happens.
Come on, you were an 8-year-old boy one day.
I would totally do that.
Handicapped people who camped out here all night, watch them wobble up in the pool.
That's the truth.
Disappointed.
The blind man wouldn't see me. I'd run up, throw the rock, and be like, oh, angel stirred it. I'd go running in. Oh, my turn.
So, don't get me wrong here. I'm trying to figure out, is there an actual, you know, God interaction with this pool, or is like they completely make this up? It's not a deal at all.
It was a tradition during Jesus' day, and he went and interacted with someone who was waiting on that pool.
I mean, he didn't condemn it or anything.
Yeah. It was interesting, the encounter. The guy actually kind of asked the guy, hey, do you want to be healed?
What are those who use the pool?
Almost hesitant.
Yeah, I don't know. I make pretty good money hanging out here.
And then the Lord turned on the fountain.
Maybe he mistook the Lord for an 8-year-old that's just firing up the lepers.
Yeah, say this little turd named Booba in here throwing rocks at
me all the time. All right, here we go. A woman snuck through a crowd to touch Jesus
because of her bleeding,
hoping she might be healed of what?
She bled for years.
Blindness. A flow of blood.
Flow of blood.
The palsy.
The palsy.
It says the palsy. And number four, diabetes.
Hey, man, does it really say diabetes?
No, it says leprosy.
Oh, sad face.
Flow blood.
Why do you speak in emoticons?
All right, oh, man, here we go.
I guess I just did.
Do we need to review in these or we're ready to rock?
No, pump it in.
Let's do this.
Okay, we think we have it right. We at least...
did good.
All right, here we go. Number one, who healed the man with the wizard hand? Withered hand.
Wizard hand? That is awesome.
Same difference.
Bar Jesus.
We said Jesus, that is correct. Number two, Jesus healed 10 men who suffered from this disease, but only one returned to thank him. We said leprosy. That is correct. Number three, oh man, Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees if it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath before healing a man of what? We said palsy. That is incorrect. The correct answer is dropsy, Luke 14.
Hold on, excuse me. I just want to review. Somebody said dropsy and said it's in Luke. I don't remember who that guy was, but he is one sharp tech.
No, no, listen here. You said it was dropsy that was in Luke, but you were not firm that that was actually the answer to the question.
No, you just assume because I don't tell my answers in your aggressive bully-type personality that I don't know the answer. Hey,
me and Herrick reasoned this out over a good 30-second time frame to an incorrect answer.
You bloviated for 30 seconds while I humbly sat by and thought, it will be Luke and Drop.
Mike has a very good point. You guys may have had an honest discussion, but it was still wrong, and Mike was right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I look pretty good doing it. Question four. What plague did God visit on the Egyptians when Moses scattered ashes? It came to boils. That is correct. Question five. Four fellows suffering from what disease went to surrender to the Syrian army but found their camp abandoned? We said leprosy. That is correct. Question six, King Asa of Judah died to a severe disease of what part of his body? We said his feet. That is correct. Elisha healed Naaman, commander of the Syrian army, of what disease? We said leprosy. That is correct. King Jehoram of Judah died when God struck him with a disease that, we said, made his intestines come out. That is correct. Question nine, sick, blind, and lame people waited at the pool of Bethesda to be healed when what happened? We said an angel stirred up the water. That is correct. And number 10, a woman snuck through a crowd to touch Jesus, hoping she might be healed of what? We said a flow of blood, and that is also correct.
That was a 90%.
The only thing keeping us from a perfect score was your pride.
that seems like the deal, yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, we answered a total of 9 of 10 questions correct for a score of 90%. Quiz was taken 18,000 times, 18,874 since April 3, 2003. The average score for this quiz is 70%.
I'm not saying you owe me an apology. I'm just saying maybe.
All right, here we do, Mike. I'm going to give you a chance. We'll do one more quiz, and we're done for the night.
Okay.
We seem to do all right at death and destruction, so we're going to go under the heading Unusual Death.
Perfect.
Oh, man.
Unusual Death. 13,
someone's going to get hung up on their hair.
13 questions. That is number 13.
Probably a son of David.
Here we go. Number one. Who was thrown from a window and struck the ground dead? Nebuchadnezzar, Ruth, Delilah, Jezebel.
Jezebel.
Nebuchadnezzar, Ruth, Delilah, Jezebel.
Jezebel.
Okay, everybody's in with Jezebel.
She wasn't the only one.
No, I thought they were thinking about the kid that fell asleep.
That's exactly what I went to,
too. He fell out a window and hit
but
the
he wasn't
and
thrown
was
from a window.
Yeah, that's true.
No, you're right.
Fell out backwards.
Under the long preaching. Here we go. Number two, what apostle was crucified?
Peter.
Peter, upside down.
Yeah, it is
not in the Bible.
Indeed, it's not. Number three, who fell on their sword after seeing that King Saul had killed himself?
Oh, Jonathan.
Jonathan, Saul's...
Eric for the win.
Saul's wife, Saul's armor-bearer, the general of Saul's army.
Wasn't Saul's armor-bearer?
Jonathan died before that. Yeah.
It was the armor-bearer.
I think it's his armor-bearer.
Armor-bearer.
Yep.
You're right.
Yep.
Saul and his armor-bearer.
Number four, who lied to the Holy Spirit and fell dead?
Ananias.
Elizabeth? What's Ananias' wife?
Sapphira
was the one.
Phoebe or Priscilla, we're going with Sapphira. Number five, when a messenger reported to Eli that the Ark of God had been captured by the Philistines, Eli hung himself, fell backwards and broke his neck and died, suffered a heart attack and died, or drank poison?
Broke his neck.
I was going to say neck.
Bro. What? Drank poison.
Drank poison. That'd be a bummer. Number six, how did Haman die after King Ahasuerus discovered his plot to kill Queen Esther's people?
They hung him. The crucifix. Crucifixion.
They
hung him in the courtyard. Crucifix.
So it has, he was hanged on the gallows. He was on the gallows, but it wasn't a hanging. The gallows would have been like a
stick.
Like a piercing stick.
Yeah.
So
he was impaled?
Yeah. He was impaled on the gallows.
That's basically what I said.
You said crucified.
Yeah, you said crucifix.
Pretty much the same.
So anyway, they have hanged on the gallows. We'll go with that. I think that's what they mean. Number seven, whose wife did God strike dead as a testament against his people? Elisha's, Elijah's, Ezekiel's, Daniel's. Whose wife did God strike dead as a testament against his people? Elisha, Elijah, Ezekiel, Daniel. I don't think it's Daniel.
No. It's not Daniel.
I don't remember that for Elijah either. Ezekiel, maybe? He tended to bear the burden of the prophet being the message.
Yeah.
I think Ezekiel is probably the right guess here.
Okay.
Number eight. Who challenged Moses' spiritual authority and was swallowed up in the earth?
His cousins, right? Was it his cousins or his brothers? Or
we want a name here.
Okay.
Give me the names.
Korah, Pharaoh, Aaron, Levi.
No. Korah.
It's Korah. Korah.
Yeah, it's Korah. Who hand-delivered a letter, the contents of which led to his own death? It's related to David.
Oh, Uzzah, Utah. What's his name?
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Mike's close. Well, who was Bathsheba's husband?
Uriah.
Uriah.
Yeah,
that's right. Ahijah, Ahimelech, Uriah, or Naboth. We're going to go with Uriah. Number nine. Ten. Which king died in battle because he was struck by a random arrow between the plates of his armor? Ahasuerus, Abimelech, Adonijah, Ahab.
I don't know why, but I'm thinking Adonijah.
I think it's Ahab.
Let's go with Ahab.
Adonijah was.
I always get confused about the kings.
Well, yeah, so he was one of David's sons. I think it's Ahab.
Okay.
Yeah.
He has a habit of dying.
Oh, dear. 11. It's John Deere. That's Herrick, if you're going to bring it back, you can bring it back correctly. 11. There were two unusual things about the death of Asahel. What were they?
One, no one knew who Asahel was.
Oh, man, this is going to be... Okay, I think we can eliminate some of these. Number one, his pursuer cautioned him to stop following him, then smote him under the ribs with the blunt end of a spear.
Yeah.
That's not... One doesn't seem unusual. Number two, he got his hair caught in the branches of a tree as he escaped.
No.
That wasn't him.
No, that's not him. That's Absalom. Number three, he escaped from a would-be assassin, but then was killed by his own servant. Or four, he had killed all the men of the city, but then a woman dropped a millstone off the city wall onto his head and killed him.
I think it's A. I
say C.
Okay, Mike's in. Wait. For pursuer cautioned him to stop following him and then smote him under the ribs with the blunt end of a spear.
Yeah.
And Booba's in. He escapes a would-be assassin, but then is killed by his own servant.
Who's the guy?
Asahel. Awesome. Probably Asahel.
I'm almost certain it's A.
I'm not nearly as certain as Mike is about this.
Here's it. We better give Mike the benefit of the doubt, okay, given the last one. Unless Herrick or guess.
I don't remember this guy at all.
No. We'll see what scripture comes up when we look at him.
Probably are we somewhere in Judges. Is that what's going on?
It's probably Kings. Everybody's in Kings. 12. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle against Israel was going against him, he took his eldest son and killed him. Why? A. He wanted Israel to win the battle. B. He thought Israel would stop the battle if they saw him kill his son. C, his eldest son was a traitor and he had just found out about it. Or D, he was offering his son as a burnt offering.
I say D.
Anybody else?
I abstain.
That's
way to be bold.
Wow.
I'm inclined to the burnt offering. That's not the one where they're holding up Moses' hands, right? Or not?
I don't think so.
Not Moses.
Where
Joshua,
Aaron, and Miriam are holding up Moses' arms.
Yeah, okay, man, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, he's got to have the staff up for Israel winning, and then whenever he puts his
hands
down, they start losing.
Yeah. I'm inclined to the burnt offering. Nobody else? All right, we're going with burnt offering.
Yeah.
13. This man got his hair caught in a tree. Absalom.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay, here we go.
Mike, that was all.
Number one. Who was thrown from a window and struck the ground dead? We said Jezebel. That is correct.
Yep.
Question two. What apostle was crucified? Actually, it is in the Bible. Not that he was upside down, but it talks about in John 21, where he said that to show him about how he would basically meet his death. Remember that? Hold on.
That's the reference of, in this one, in the same way. Right, that's not a direct reference.
No. Then, let's see. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, why they got this in King James? Hold on, let me put it into something that I
was going to say. Did you just pull up the KJV? When thouest does this,
we'll do the Darby. No, that's not Young's Living. Verily, verily, I say to thee, when thou wast younger, come on, thou wast girding thyself. Here we go.
Can we just do you reading King James for the next week?
The Bible in basic English. Truly I say to you, when you were young, you made yourself ready and went wherever you had a desire to go. But when you are old, you will put out your hands, and another will make you ready, and you will be taken to where you have no desire to go. Now, this he said, pointing out the sort of death by which he would give God glory. So, yeah. Yeah, it anticipated Peter's crucifixion. All right, John 21. Anyway, we were correct. Question 3. Who fell on their sword after seeing that King Saul had killed himself? We said Saul's armor bearer. That is correct. Who lied to the Holy Spirit and fell dead? We said Sapphira. That is correct. When a messenger reported to Eli that the Ark of God had been captured by the Philistines, Eli fell backwards and broke his neck and died. That is correct. How did Haman die after King Ahasuerus discovered his plot to kill Queen Esther's people? We said he was hanged on the gallows. That is correct. Whose wife did God strike dead as a testament against his people? We said as Ezekiel's, and that is a solid guess. That is correct. Hold on, let's look at the... Ezekiel 24:18. So in the morning I was teaching the people, and in the evening death took my wife. And in the morning I did what I had been ordered to do. Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Awful things happened as to the prophet as an example. Ezekiel's probably your man. Question 8. Who challenged Moses' spiritual authority and was swallowed up in the earth? We said Korah. That is correct. Who hand-delivered a letter, the contents of which led to his own death? We said is Uriah Heep. That is correct. Question 10. Which king died in battle because he was struck by a random arrow between the plates of his armor? We said that is Ahab. That is correct. Hold on. Let's dig on the story. 1 Kings 22. King of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. King of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will make a change in my clothing so that I do not seem to be the king, and I will go into the fight. But do you put on your robes? Period. So the king of Israel made a change in his dress and went to the fight. And he goes through, and a certain man sent an arrow from his bow without thought of its direction, and gave the king of Israel a wound where his breastplate was joined to his clothing. So he said to the driver's war carriage, go to one side and take me away out of the armory, for I am badly wounded. And he dies. Rough task.
That ended abruptly.
Question 11. There were two unusual things about the death of Asahel. Asahel? What were they? We said his pursuer cautioned him to stop following him, then smote him under the ribs with the blunt end of a spear. That is correct. Nice. 2 Samuel 2, verses 22 and 23 says, then again Abner said to Asahel, go to one side, do not keep on coming after me. Why will you make me put an end to you? For then I will be shamed before your brother Joab. But still he did not go to one side. So Abner gave him a back blow in the stomach with the spear, so that the spear came out at his back. And he went down on the earth wounded to death. And all those who came to the place
holy
where
crap.
Asahel went down dead came to a stop.
That is some serious rage to being on the same side of the pedestrian road.
Hey, man.
I always remember really liking that story. Like, it stuck with me.
That
scares like
me.
The guy's like, hey, man, you need to stop following me. And this grown man is like, no. And then kept following him around.
I do. You get some vindication from this story for all those kids that are walking in the middle of the road and you're trying to drive down the road. And they know very well that you ain't going to run them over. And so they walk slowly. And they either don't move out of the way or, like, very slowly walk out of the middle of the road to get to the sidewalk and mock you. Does that not happen?
Does that happen often to
you? Yeah. Yeah, it does. It happened to me over the weekend. We were driving somewhere to, I don't know, we were going to walk around in, I don't know, Jester Park or something. And we went to somebody's house, dropped off their kids, and we're trying to drive. And these stupid girls are in the middle of the road. And, like, they were in the middle of the road when we were trying to get to the house. And they very slowly kind of move out of the way and act like I'm a fool for being on the road and that they're normal for walking in the middle of it. And so they very slowly move. And then we drop the kids off and we start driving again. And sure enough, these ladies are back in the middle of the road again. And they're, like, very slowly walking around. They know that you're not going to do anything because you can't hit them with the car. And so they just kind of slowly get out the way and watch you go by and then, you know, give you the bird and mock you as you leave.
They didn't give you the bird.
No, but they thought about it. They gave me the mind bird.
The mind bird.
I could tell by one of them, definitely. All right, here we go. When the king of Moab saw that the battle against Israel was going against him, he took his eldest son and killed him. Why? We said he was offering his son as a burnt offering. That is correct. 2 Kings 3. Said, when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land.
You know, this is a pretty grisly list, but I think we've hit a rather grim low here when the guy's offering his son as a sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah. Although God ultimately does that with Jesus.
Yeah, true.
Although he asked him to do
the king of Moab was not a Jesus man.
No, I hear what you're saying. It's interesting to see what God turns to holy.
Yeah, right? That's true.
What God turns to his glory, we're like, this is disgusting. And God says, yeah, we're going to do that, but it will be the good thing. Mm-hmm. Anything that you think God can't redeem, he can redeem, and he's done it. Especially given his, that was one of the things, his abominations to some of these other gods that people worship. He's like, is child sacrifice. Well, and that's the very thing he used. Mm-hmm. So, but it, I guess it just a matter of who you are. Mm-hmm. Question 13. The man got his hair caught in a tree. We said that's Absalom, and that is correct. We are 13 to 13, 100%.
Bam.
Again, we rock the creepy death and destruction quiz items.
Yeah.
Quiz has been taken 26,000 times since April 4th, 2003. The average score for this quiz is 72%.
What a bunch of sluggards.
Yeah, we dominate death and destruction. That's the way to go about your business. Is there a happy one? Maybe we should try that next time. And see how it goes. See if we're any good at the, the ones that are happiness. Anyway, you've been listening to Live from the Path. Thanks for hanging out with us this week. Dave Herrick. Hold on. I forgot to have you talk about where you're going.
Yeah, okay. I should probably do that.
Well, I better not close the show out yet, quite yet. So tell us a little bit about the job that you took in Oklahoma and what kind of you expect.
All right, yeah, it's a pretty cool one. I do web development and just general computer type stuff, and I've been looking for a long time to find a place where I could actually do that for God's kingdom in an awesome way. And here was this opportunity with a group called Voice of the Martyrs. You can find them at persecution.com. That's their main website. And that's kind of the nature of what they do is they find where Christians are being persecuted around the world, and they make sure that those stories are being told. So, there are places in the world where just being a Christian means, hey, it's time to get locked up. And the government comes to your door and says, all right, time to prison with you. And, the government wants nothing more than for you to just kind of go away quietly. And so this organization fights against that and says, their story needs to be heard. Anytime, human rights violations against Christians, just any kind of persecution taking place, that story will be told. And they're basically just part of a tradition that goes all the way back to even first century Christians who were being put to death simply because to them, following Jesus is more important than anything else. And so if death be come, then that's what happens, and they're willing to accept it. And what I really like is they go beyond just the, hey, here's the story. They actually get involved in the people's lives and in the families that are left behind, and make sure that the widows are being supported, make sure the families are being taken care of. They get involved in refugee crises. I mean, they just, I love it. And they bring in volunteers all the time to come help package books and literature and blankets and things that refugees might need, and things that families that are going to be struggling now because they just lost their breadwinner are going to need, or a guy who just had his arms, mutilated or something because of the way that he was treated for his faith and now can't work. Families are taken care of. So I love this organization. I've been following them since the 90s. I mean, even before 9/11 and America realized there was an Islamic world out there. I mean, they just, they've been telling some really good stories. And so,
that's exciting.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be an exciting deal. I think we'll be interested to see, it's obviously a shift of not only what you do daily, but it's a new territory, new a lot of stuff. So yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it turns out. And obviously we'll check in with Dave and see how things are going. And if you're interested, if you go to persecution.org, or com. Mm-hmm. You can sign up for Voice of the Martyrs. It's free. They'll send you the magazine. I'll tell you one thing. Like I signed up for it about 2 years ago, and it's one of the things that's been helpful in helping to force my perspective to recognize my brothers and sisters around the world, and not in a shallow way, but in a when I'm trying to look at my relationship with Christ and how I see the world. I'm unfortunately in a very narrow narrow society, right? I only know what I know. And the way that Americans talk about things. And so recognizing that my community extends beyond that, this helps to tell a little bit of the story that's going on with people that are also part of my community. Mm-hmm. And it helps, I don't know, open up that perspective. And frankly, helps me understand Scripture a little bit differently, right? Like how someone in those circumstances might hear something differently than how I'm reading it. And it doesn't mean that there's one that there's the thing that's predominant. It's just like in what, how can I understand Scripture deeper because how it speaks to people in those circumstances versus how it speaks to me. So I agree. It's an excellent organization. You can support them, help support them financially. But you can also pick up the magazine. It's just a good writer. I think it's a healthy perspective, especially for Western Christians to kind of make sure that we are purposefully engaging in, mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. So, all right. So that's what we're going to do. We will check in with Dave from time to time and see how things are going with him. I will say on a personal level, I follow Jesus closer for having known Dave Herrick. So I very much appreciate our relationship and the chance to get to know him. And we'll very much miss him here at Life in the Path. So in the meantime, if you have email about how much you dislike Dave, go ahead and send that over so we can enjoy that when he's not here. And we will catch you next week. Be faithful in the means, and God will handle the ends. You've been listening to Life in the Path.